The other week, Adrian and I were in Perry Hall Park, as we seem to be quite a bit at the moment, and we were just about to start our run. I think it was the first run after completing the Couch to 5K program. And as I was stretching to get ready, I saw a lady, perhaps in her late 50s, being taught how to ride a bike by her daughter, who was holding the seat of the bike, you know, like you do when you've got your child, helping them, helping mum to balance. It wasn't going particularly well because, firstly, there were speed bumps, and secondly, she was like, she was starting with the pedal right at the bottom. You know, you need to have it up a little bit, don't you, to give it a bit of a go, doesn't it? Anyway, we exchanged a bit of eye contact, and I smiled encouragingly at her and suggested that she might want to lift the pedal up a bit to give her a good push off. And we started a bit of a conversation, and she asked me if I was going for a jog. It was quite clear that I was. And I told her that I had just completed the Couch to 5K. And if I could have done this, if I could do this, never having jogged in my life before, then she was more than capable of learning how to ride a bike. She told me that she was now determined to do this after having heard my story. So off she went, totally ignoring all my advice to lift the pedal up and have a good flat stretch in front of her so she could get a good push off. Totally ignoring my advice. It was interesting that even though I told her how to do it, she still ignored my advice. In learning to do anything new, what's the point in asking people or reading up about it if you're not going to take the advice and instructions on board? And here in chapter 4 of our study in Ephesians, Paul has laid the groundwork. He's put before them in chapters 1 to 3 the theology, the study of the nature of God and the foundations of our belief. And now he's saying to get on and live it out. And here's how you live it out, he's saying. This is how you apply it to your life. And in this chapter, Paul begins to show us how to walk the Christian life in the power of God and what we specifically need to incorporate into that walk for it to be effective and fruitful. And we would be foolish not to take it on board because he knows what he's talking about. So we're just going to look through some of the things that he's suggesting, he's instructing that we should do. And firstly and foremostly, in that first verse, he reminds us that it is God who has called us. Paul writes in this first verse, "As a prisoner for the Lord, I then urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." And we do this walk in his power. That's the dunamis. The Christian life is a daily walk with the Lord who has called us. He has called us to this walk. The New King James Version gives a more literal translation of what Paul has written. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called." Beseech. Notice Paul begins with urgency. I beseech you. Paul implores us not to miss the importance of what follows. He's saying, take on board. Don't be like the lady with the bike. Take on board what I'm saying to you. This is what you need to do. Notice too that Paul includes the word therefore. And in the NIV, it says then. Paul connects everything that follows with what's preceded it. In other words, there's no division between the theology in chapters 1 to 3 and the application that we're now going to look at in chapters 4 to 6. Instead, the two are intertwined and connected to each other. You can't have one without the other. So if we're going to talk the talk, we must also walk the walk. Our theology must impact how we live our lives. Paul emphasizes here that we walk worthily. Worthily is an adverb which in the Greek pictures the two sides of a scale being brought into balance. A weight has been placed on one side of the scale, and if you're going to walk worthily, then you must bring up the other beam of the scale to an equilibrium. In other words, the life or daily practice of a Christian should weigh as much as or be equivalent to his or her profession of faith. Now, here's a question. Are you walking today worthily of the calling you have received as a believer of Jesus Christ? Or is your life out of balance? Are we walking in obedience to Christ in his dunamis? Or have we strayed off the path to which God has called us? Step by step, we will either walk in obedience or disobedience to God's calling and purpose for our life. Paul's imagery of the Christian life as our walk is significant. Let's see how the Message Bible translates it and brings meaning to what it says. This is what he says in the Message. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner of the for the master, I want you to get out there and walk, better yet, run, on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. We are called to walk a specific path, the road that God has marked out for us and given us directions to walk on. Yesterday, I completed my first park run. Eh? Here we all are. Here's some picture of us before and after. This is the Birmingham Citadel contingent. You'll see in the second picture, I'm not standing too closely to Helen because I'm a bit stinky and sweaty. And I wanted to spare her from that. However, on the park run, they have volunteer marshals. And at different stages of the run, they will be telling you the right path to go so that there's no confusion and so that you don't go off in your own direction. Because there's people like me who are doing it for the first time. There's people from all over the world that come and visit. Yesterday, there was a man from Australia. How on earth a man from Australia ended up coming to the Perry Hall Park Run, I don't know. But he was there from Australia. He had no idea what the course was. So we needed these marshals to tell us where to go. In our Christian walk or run, it's the power of God within us, this dunamis, that helps to keep us on the right path, on the path that's worthy of our calling. You know that feeling of right or wrong that you have within you. When you read the scripture like this, that tells you the right path to go. When you speak in prayer and hear what the Lord has to say to you. When the godly people around you, the confirmation of the saints, help direct you like those parkrun marshals. We are not to chart our own path, nor are we just to sit still and do nothing. He tells us to get up and get moving, get walking. For Paul, walking is moving forward. And that's the primary imperative of the Christian life. Again, in the NIV translation, walk is live a life. God has called you and me to walk worthily, to balance the scales between our doctrine, what we believe, and the way that we live. It's one thing for us to know that we are to get up and walk. It's another thing for us to get up and walk and know where we're to walk. Are you walking worthily today of the calling that you have received? Are you walking worthily? The next thing he instructs us to do as we walk this Christian life is in this dunamis, is to imitate the character of Christ. Here he says in verse 2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Walk in or live in humility, gentleness, and patience. Our goal in this life is to imitate the character of Christ, knowing that we were purchased at a price. God expects those who have been united with Christ in his resurrection and exaltation to put off the old self, and invite him to transform the attitudes of our minds to focus on whatever is true, noble, right, pure, excellent, and praiseworthy. That's what Paul writes in the Philippians. And while this process of becoming more like Jesus begins when he enters a person's heart, when we accept him into our lives, obtaining the character of Christ is an ongoing process of surrendering oneself, our will, our desires. The church is dependent on its members, you and I, embracing the power of Jesus, the dunamis, to change and sanctify our character so that we might become like God in true righteousness and holiness. He gives us this verse, in this verse, some pointers as to how we can do this, some steps, so to speak. Firstly, he says, walk in humility, be humble. By human standards, humility or lowliness is not a virtue to be sought after. Yet Jesus modeled humility in the way he lived his life. He taught his disciples, taught the disciples humility with every step he took. Humility is recognized where your strength is recognizing where your strength comes from. You've no need to build up yourself. Your strength is found in God. God lifts you up. Secondly, he tells us to walk in gentleness. Be gentle. Another way to translate this is be meek. Unfortunately, I think there's sometimes the world often thinks that meekness is weakness, but it's not. Meekness or gentleness is strength under control. Humility recognizes the source of strength is God, so we have nothing to prove. Gentleness is our God-given strength under control. Thirdly, we're to walk in patience. We don't want to admit sometimes that we're not patient, that we need patience. The fruit of the Spirit is patient. Love is patient. I read recently, don't pray for patience because you're sure to be tested. And yet here Paul lists patience as the third essential step to learning to walk worthily of the calling we have received. And fourthly, and crucially, Paul says, with every step we take, let love be evident. Make every step with love. The Greek makes it clear that Paul's focus is that we walk worthily by living a life of love. A word for word translation of what Paul is saying might go something like this: with all humility, gentleness, and with patience, love one another with love. In Colossians, Paul's companion letter to Ephesians, Paul further lists not just the three steps of humility, gentleness, and patience, but he adds compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. But with each of these steps, Paul further emphasizes that love is what makes each step genuine. This is how we walk worthily of our calling. We are to be constantly remember that without love for our God and for one another, our service to him is nothing more than, as he says in Corinthians, a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It's not nice. It's painful. It causes shock to those who hear and witness it. I don't want to be that sort of person. What about you? And the next thing he instructs us to do as we walk this Christian life in the dunamis is to seek unity. He says in verses 3-6, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and all in all. You know, there was something really lovely about doing that park run yesterday with other people who were like-minded and wanted each other to succeed and do well. As I was running around and, quite frankly, nearly dying, people were saying as they were passing me on the other way, well done, keep going. And, you know, about halfway through, I thought, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to have to stop and walk here. But I kept on telling myself, no, you can do this because you've done it before. You can do it. Anyway, on the last little stretch of the run, just as you reach the finish, there's like this fenced gangway that you've got to run. And people who are already finished, which was pretty much all of them, were standing at the end of that. And they were kind of, urging you on to the finish. And all of a sudden, with them being there, I felt this burst of energy as they cheered and encouraged me. And suddenly, my very slow jog became a sprint. I kid you not. I was like the sprintiest sprinter in the world. I think I could have even beaten Darren at that bit. Maybe not. I'm not issuing a challenge there. I don't know where that came from, but I just had this power within me to belt it through to the end, and I did. I'd probably nearly died at the end as well. Now, when I've been out on jogs on my own, I've never had the desire to do that. And I just really believe that it was this unity and this common goal and this common spirit of the Parkrun initiative. I couldn't help then, therefore, to make these comparisons with the church, with the body of Christ. As Christians, we have a common faith and a common goal lived within community. Our faith is shared with one another. We emphasize having a personal faith, but we share a common faith. Paul says here that we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all and through all in all and in all. And as we join together in unity and in that commonness, we urge each other on. Like the runners on that park run, so in our Christian community, some are way ahead in spiritual understanding and living that out. I think Darren did that run in half the time that I did. And others are a little bit further behind in their understanding and of faith and living that out. And, you know, that's okay, because we all come together to raise each other up, as the youth talked about that last week. Do you remember? That's the dunamis. That's the power of God that gives that desire and that motivation to do that, to come together in unity in this commonness of faith. To build unity is one of the Holy Spirit's important roles. He leads, but we have to be willing to be led and to do our part to keep the peace. And we do that by focusing on God and not ourselves. Paul says here, make every effort. Be eager to maintain, to guard, to strive for unity. Work at it. Every person is to be involved, and the job never ends. So what are you doing to seek unity in the church? Not just in here, but in the wider church. And finally, Paul instructs us as we walk this Christian life in the dunamis is to use our gifts. In these verses from 7 to 13, it says, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended to high, on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It was our wedding anniversary on Tuesday. We've not reached the lofty heights of 50 years. We've just reached 15, which is quite an achievement for us. And well done. So the girls decided that they were going to surprise us. They were going to plan some nice surprises for us. And so they arranged for my parents to come over, and we had a meal out together, which the girls paid for. Rosie was quite excited about taking the receipt from the waitress and paying for the meal. I suspect that part of the reason for the parents coming was to bankroll the meal. But we were very grateful, and it was a lovely meal together. Katie made a cake all by herself. In it was jam and minstrels inside. It was very lovely. It was a bit crunchy, but it was very lovely. And unfortunately, there was no self-raising flour in the house, so plain flour was used instead. So it was a bit flat, but it tasted lovely. It was nice. And Rosie, she made this clay heart jigsaw that we have a picture of coming up, hopefully. There you are. We had to put it together. That was a gift. It was in a box. We took it out and we put it together. Well, I put it together. And each of the pieces fitted perfectly. I tried to put them in other ways, but they wouldn't. They only fitted this way. The pictures, of course, would be of incomplete with every one of the, without one of those pieces. You know what I'm going to say here, don't you? In this walk, we have to live out our part in the body of Christ like a jigsaw piece. That means working out what our spiritual gifts are and developing them and using them, because each one of us is integral to the body of Christ. Remember, he has called us into this, and so we know that we have a specific part to play. We know that we have a specific place here because he's called us into it. Paul talks about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Now, you might think you don't have any of those gifts, but you do. And as you walk in the dunamis, the power of God, he reveals to you your gifts and these opportunities he gives you to use and develop those gifts in the body of Christ. And in doing so, we not only deepen and strengthen our faith, our own faith, but also strengthen each other's faith and therefore the body of Christ, and we make it more fruitful, building God's kingdom. God has given his church an enormous responsibility to make disciples in every nation. If we had to fulfill this command as individuals, we might well as give up without trying. It would be impossible. But God calls us as members of his body. Some of us can do one task, some of us another. Together, we can obey God more fully than any of us could alone. And as we use our gifts together, we express the fullness of Christ. What a beautiful thought that is. As we use our gifts together to express, we express the fullness of Christ. So that's what it is to walk in the dunamis, in the power of God. Going back to the beginning, if we're just going to read this or listen to it and not live it out, what's the point? So the question is, will you take your Father's hand and walk the walk this week? Will you walk worthily? What steps does God want you to take so that you can move forward in obedience? There's a saying that says the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Be willing to step out in the first step of obedience that God is calling you to take. And just as we think about this and allow the Lord to perhaps speak to us and maybe challenge us in our walk, in our dunamis walk, we're going to use this lovely little chorus, number 567, in the songbook that says, "All my heart I give to thee, every moment to live for thee, daily strength to receive from thee as I obey thy call. While I bow to pray to thee, I commit my way to thee." That is walking worthily. I commit my way to thee. Here just now as I say to thee, I dedicate my all. Are you going to walk worthily of the call that God has given you this week? Let's sing this together. And as we do, allow the Lord to maybe challenge you and speak to you in how you are walking the walk at the moment and what areas that you need to maybe look at to walk more worthily in that walk. Just be reminded of the tune, Louise. In the Bible, it talks about the devil prowling around, and he causes distraction. That is a distraction right now. Don't let it distract you from the calling that you have received to walk worthily today. Don't let it distract you, folks. Louise is going to play this chorus. You're going to spend this moment just thinking about these words, walking worthily, and what that means for you. Do not let the devil prowl around and distract you right now, but think on what Paul is telling us here in our walk with the Lord, how that should be. So let's just take this moment, close our eyes if it's helpful, come to this place of prayer if it's helpful, to take away the distraction, whatever is helpful, to take away this distraction. Because what's most important is that you walk worthily of the Lord this week. That's what's most important here. So let's just pray as this music plays. So let's just pick up that chorus again and respond to God to walk worthily. Here we go. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, take us from where we are to where you want us to be. Help us to walk worthily of the calling we have received. Make us not merely guardians of a heritage, but living signs of your kingdom. Fire us with a passion for justice and peace between all people. Fill us with that faith and hope and love which embodies the gospel. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, the dynamis, make us one, that the world may believe, that your name may be enthroned in our nation, that your church may be more effectively your body. We commit ourselves to you just now. We've said that. We commit ourselves to love you, to serve you, and to follow you as pilgrims, not as strangers. And we ask that your power would be in us to enable us to do this. Amen. Amen. Amen.